You can turn to Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6 and 7, and we're not going to stay at that text, but unlike most weeks, we're going to start here and kind of, that's going to be a jumping off point for us, and we're going to turn to a lot of other places. Just have your pen ready. You can jot the verses down that we'll be looking at today. You know, there are some stories that are too good to be made up. A Texas dad who, for obvious reasons, didn't want his name to be mentioned, had some unexpected excitement on his family vacation. After a short night's rest at a hotel in Memphis, Tennessee, the man and his family hit the road again for vacation. They had driven for hours and hours. They had driven for most of the day. They were driving into the night. They stopped to get a bite to eat and to fill the gas tank up. And when the family hit the road again, everybody was in the van except Dad. They left Dad at the gas station. The father explained kind of what happened. He said somebody had been sleeping in the back of the van for several hours because they were going to swap out after they ate, and he was going to get in the back of the van and take a short nap so he could continue driving on into the night. And he said the family got into the van, and they all made the assumption that I was already bunkered down in the back of the van, fast asleep and getting my rest. The dad didn't have his cell phone because the battery was dead and it was charging in the van. And so he borrowed a phone and he called his own cell phone multiple times because no one would pick up. Eventually, his cell phone went automatically to voicemail. He said six cell phones in one van and nobody would answer their phone. He said, so I didn't know what to do, so he called a policeman. And it wasn't the police that saved the day. It was social media that saved the day, because the dad had the bright idea to log onto the computer at a hotel, go on to Facebook and start sending messages to his family that they had left him behind. A little over 100 miles later, through Facebook, the family realized that Dad was not with them. And so they turned around and they came to pick up Dad at the gas station. And Dad said he was fairly certain that the whole incident was nothing more than just a huge mistake and an accident. Dads, we don't want you to be left out and we don't want you to be left behind. And today I want to challenge you and I want to encourage you to fulfill your God-given role as a husband and as a father. Unfortunately, what's missing from so many homes and so many families today is a man who sees his God-given calling as husband and father, the greatest calling that has ever been placed on his life. The role of a husband and the role of a father is vital to the health of a family, to the health of a community, and to the health of a nation. Lucille Ball, the star of I Love Lucy, and I know at that moment I lost a lot of our younger ones because you just have no idea who Lucy is or what the show I Love Lucy is. I want to encourage you, go home with your parents' permission, Google I Love Lucy, YouTube it, whatever. Find the episode where she's eating chocolate or stomping grapes, and I just want to promise you, it doesn't matter how old you are or who you are or whether it's in black and white or color. That stuff's funny right there. And so Lucille Ball, not long before her death, was interviewed, and the interviewer asked her the question. He said, Lucy, you lived a long time, and you've seen a lot of things. What do you think is going wrong with our country? What's wrong with our children? What's wrong with our families? Why are they falling apart? What is it that's missing in our society today? And her reply was immediate, and it was to the point. She said, what's missing? She said, Papa is missing. Things are falling apart because Papa is gone. If Papa were here and in every family, the problem would be fixed. I think there's great insight in that response. Our problems in society stem from the problems that exist on a smaller level in our families. And part of the problems that exist in our families are because in one way or another, Daddy is missing. Lyndon B. Johnson, who was president of the United States from 1963 to 1969, said that history and instinct tell us that a society that does not encourage responsible fatherhood will pay for its failure and its mistake in the coming generations. Those words have proven to be prophetic in our day, in our age. But what they were saying are merely echoes of what God's Word has taught us for millennia. For us as believers, though, there's more at stake than just the stability and the welfare of our community and our nation. For us as believers, what's at stake in the role of a husband and a father in a home is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And it's the gospel of Jesus Christ that is the only hope for this world. As husbands and fathers, we play an important role in passing on the gospel to the next generation, who will take the gospel to the ends of the earth for the glory of God. This is what the writer of Proverbs says in Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6 and 7. Many a man proclaims his own loyalty in a roundabout way, saying, "We can toot our own horns." But then it asks the question, "Who can find a trustworthy man, a righteous man who walks in integrity? How blessed are his sons after him." The verse seems to indicate that this kind of man is rare. Where are the men who honor the Lord and seek to live for Him? Where are the men in the homes that love Jesus Christ more than they love life itself? They are few and they're far between, but when a man walks in righteousness and when he walks in integrity before God and before other men, his children and his children's children are going to be blessed. Listen to what the psalmist has to say in Psalm 112, verses 1 and 2. He said, "Praise the Lord, how blessed is the man who fears the Lord and who greatly delights in the Lord's commands. His descendants, his children, will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed." Men, if that's what we want for our children and our children's children, then we have to stop and ask ourselves in the midst of this rat race of a life the question, what is our role? What is it that we are called to as husbands and fathers? And so for a few minutes this morning, I want us to think about the role that God has given us as husband and father in our homes. And I love the terms, and they're not original with him, but the terms that Vodi Balcom used in his wonderful book called What He Must Be If He Wants to Marry My Daughter. And just a quick commercial here. Dads, if you have a young girl living at home who is about to date or who may be far from dating, I encourage you to get this book and to read it, because it talks about your responsibility toward that daughter in helping them pick the right kind of man. And for those of you who have sons in the home, it's not written specifically for sons, but I encourage you to pick that book up and to read it. Because if that's the kind of dad that I want for my little girl, that's the kind of young man that I want my son to be for somebody else's little girl. So I just encourage you, just a commercial, to throw that out there. And a lot of the teenagers, after you read that, if you try to do some of these things, they're not going to like their pastor. That's okay. I can deal with it, because what we want is what's best for our homes, okay? But in that book, he talks about the role that we have as husbands and fathers. And part of that role is being the protector and being the provider for our family. Being the protector and being the provider for our family. There are some who may find those terms to be a little archaic, to be a little outdated in our liberated and progressive world today. But from the very beginning, God has given to men the responsibility of protecting and providing. They have not been given the sole responsibility, but they have been given the primary responsibility for protecting and providing for their household. You know, statements like that, it does not diminish either gender, but what it does is it highlights the uniqueness and the significance of being made male and female. It's not about worth. It's not about ability. It's about how God made each of us and the roles and the responsibilities that God has provided for each of us in the family. And I don't want to wade too far off course today. In the future, we're going to come back to what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman from a biblical perspective. God's just been burdening my heart with this in our culture today, because there is a lot of confusion today in our world about what it means to be a man, about what it means to be a woman in the home, in the church, and in society. And so we're going to come back. But, you know, in the just and in the noble fight for equal rights and opportunities for women, there were some that went beyond equal rights and equal opportunities, and they stepped onto the slippery slope that we find ourselves on today, one that seeks to deny and obscure all the distinctions of what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman, except for the obvious physical differences. Our liberal culture has worked hard to remove the differences that make us uniquely male and uniquely female. And with this overreach, we've robbed generations of the ability to see and to celebrate and to understand the unique God-given differences that we have in being men and being women, between masculinity and femininity. And they cannot, just because of cultural indoctrination, see them as two complementary parts that come together to make a beautiful whole under the lordship of Jesus Christ. There has been an all-out ongoing effort to emasculate and to feminize our young boys, and to defeminize and to make our young women more masculine in an attempt to prove that there is no difference. Folks, difference does not make one superior or inferior. Difference means we're just different. And we're different on purpose. And in God's economy, we're different with a purpose. Families and society have suffered, I believe, an enormous loss as this vein of thought has taken its toll on young men and young women who do not know what it means to be a man or a woman under the sight of God and in this world. And the consequences have been absolutely devastating to our homes and to our society. We have a generation that has been brought up with this type of thinking, and they're raising another generation with this type of thinking, and the results are disastrous. I agree with John Piper. As you look at the statistics and you look at the world around us, when we follow this mindset out, we don't have less divorce, we have more divorce. We don't have less infidelity, we have more infidelity. We don't have less sexual promiscuity in our culture. We have more sexual promiscuity in our culture and more sexual abuse. There's more confusion about gender and gender roles that creates a social awkwardness that everybody is trying to explain apart from the Word of God, and you simply cannot do it. You find an increase in homosexuality in our culture because we simply do not know what it means to be a man and what it means to be a woman in the economy of God today. And as husbands and fathers and grandfathers, we have been given the awesome privilege of modeling what it means to be a man who knows God and who honors God and who seeks to fulfill the commands and demands that God has placed on us as the spiritual head of His home. And part of that means that we are called to be the protector of our home. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 8, a verse that we looked at several weeks ago on our Wednesday night study, says, "You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone who is weaker, since she is a woman. Show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered." Now, Scripture is not talking about emotional, spiritual, or intellectual capacity and the ability of a wife over a husband. Most of us guys knew from the first moment we went on the very first date with our wife that we were outclassed and left behind in those areas a long time ago. But Peter is talking about just the physical size difference and strength difference that exists between most men and most women. We've all seen those guys that they couldn't wrestle their way out of a wet paper bag if they had to. And we've also seen those women that we were absolutely convinced they could wrestle a bear to a ground if they needed to. But on the whole, and we gave this statistic several weeks ago, men are 50% stronger than women, except when it comes to opening the pickle in the jelly jar out of the refrigerator. Can I get a witness, women and men? Yes. "Honey, I can't get this jelly jar open. Fine, let me hold it." Pow! There it is. That's the way it works. But anyway, the gift of size and the gift of strength that God has given to us as men is not so that we can abuse, bully, intimidate, or dominate our wives or our children, but to protect them and to care for them and to provide for them. Because we're called to gentleness and we're called to meekness. And does that does not mean that we are weak. That is strength under control. The picture is of a beautiful, massive, strong stallion or workhorse that is tame. He has such strength, but yet he can produce such work and carry such a burden and such a load. And that's what we're to do as a man, but we're also to be gentle. And that same horse that can carry such a burden and such a load can be a lot of fun. After all, what makes the best horse on the way to bedtime? It's dad. Guys, we were called to be the protector of our homes, and God has gifted us physically to do that and to be the provider of our homes. We're the ones that should stand between our family and danger, and this honors them greatly before God. You know, in the Old Testament, this is something that's coming out in our cultural debate, and I don't want to get off into that today, but in the Old Testament, it was the men who went into battle and who fought for their family and for their country. In the New Testament, we are the ones that were called to follow Christ's example, because we're to love our wives as Jesus Christ loved the church. And then the verse goes on to say, and gave himself up for her. He sacrificed himself to the point of death to the bride that God had given him. As men and as husbands, we're called to sacrifice ourselves at all times and in all ways for the good of our family. We should be a shelter and we should be a refuge for our family. And our men say, yeah, I've got that. I'm ready to protect. I've got Remington, I've got Taurus, I've got Sig, I've got Glock, and I've got Beretta, and I've got a few other friends there to help me protect my family. And those of you who don't know what that is, maybe you need to find out. And I just want to say to you husbands, it's good that you're able to protect them in that way. But God's not only called us to protect them physically in this world, He's called us to protect them in other areas as well. Because we're responsible for ensuring that our home is a refuge and a place of safety from those people and those things that would seek to do them harm on more than just the physical level. Our homes should be a place of emotional safety. We're there to protect them, and that means that we should be gentle and compassionate and patient with our wives and with our children, and that's not something all of us are very good at. Can I get a witness, men? Especially the patient part. Our families don't need us to add to the abuse and the beating that they receive in life already. We shouldn't be there to add to their fears and their frustrations. They should be able to come home and know that Daddy is there and that this is a safe place because Papa's at home. They should feel safe knowing that we're always going to be there and that we're always going to be faithful. And I want you to listen to that one, because that's a problem in our churches. They need to know that Daddy will always be there and that Daddy will always be faithful. They should never live with the fear that we're going to abandon our post and walk away from our promise. They should never fear the sting of betrayal and unfaithfulness because we failed to protect them by protecting our own hearts and our own minds in the area of sexual purity. We should protect our home from the enemy and fight in prayer to keep them from being ravaged by sin. Protect them from things that cause them to compromise their faith. To protect them from things that would hinder or damage or derail their future, that would create sinful patterns of thought and action in their lives. Part of Adam's sin in the very beginning was not just that he picked up the fruit and he ate it. Part of Adam's sin was that he abandoned his post as a spiritual leader and director and protector of his home. He stood passively by while evil confronted his family, and he did nothing but become complicit in that evil himself. He abdicated his God-given role as the protector of that family and as the leader of that family. Men, protect your homes. Be men of God, but not only protect your homes, but provide for your family as well. We shouldn't be lazy. We should be willing to work and to work hard in order to provide for our families. And this is not a call, because we struggle with this, guys. We struggle with this. This is not a call to be a workaholic. It's not a call to define yourself by the job title or position that you may have or the paycheck that you bring home. But it is a call that we have been given the primary responsibility for meeting the physical needs of our wife and our children. One person said workaholics don't have a job. They have an obsession. And that might describe some of you in here today. Let me tell you something. You need to reevaluate where you are in relation to your work, in relation to your family. And we work not to provide a standard of living that competes with everybody around us. Our job is to provide the basic necessities of life that our families need and to provide a foundation for our children that they can build on. And I want to take just a minute and I want to say this. There are some guys in here that you make a really good wage at your job. You do really well for yourself. And there are others in here that you work just as hard, but your paycheck doesn't match up. As a matter of fact, you work hard and long hours, maybe even at multiple jobs, just to scratch by as a family. And I want you to hear me. Don't you ever feel bad because your paycheck doesn't match the paycheck of somebody else. Don't you ever feel bad because your family is not living in that neighborhood, but they're living in this neighborhood. Don't you ever feel bad that your car is not as big and fancy and as fast as that other person's car. I want you to hear me. If you're working hard as a father to provide for your family, God is pleased with you, and you should be honored and you should be applauded. While our wives may work outside the homes and they're not forbidden to, they may even have a job that pays more than you, it is still your responsibility to make sure that the basic necessities of your family's livelihood are taken care of. God has placed that in the DNA of every man. And we can't explain it, but it's there. Because God's made us different for a reason and for a purpose. You know, we should have a strong worth ethic, men, in the home and out of the home. And we should pass that on to our sons. And we should also let our daughters see what it means to be a man who works hard to provide. What it means to be a man that sacrifices for their children. Because there's going to come some little knot-headed boys knocking on your door one day, and your little girl needs to be able to look at them and determine very quickly, this person doesn't have any drive for excellence in their life. This person is lazy in their life. That's not the man I want. And they're going to figure that out by the person that daddy is, and daddy teaching them, not just by what he does, but by what he says. This is the type of man that you look for in life. Colossians chapter 3 says, whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than men. Paul puts it very bluntly in 1 Timothy. He said, if anyone does not provide for his own, especially for those of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever or an infidel. Folks, we are called to provide for them not just physically, but with unconditional love. With support. Providing for our family goes beyond just meeting the basic physical needs. We're there to help meet the emotional needs of our families. They should have our time, they should have our attention, and they should have our heart. And to give that means that as fathers, we may have to give up some other things. We may have to lay aside that passion for that old truck or that old car that's been sitting in our garage for years that consumes our time while we spend it separated from our families. It may mean that we have to surrender and lay on the altar before God the obsession that we have for sports that nobody else in our family shares. It may mean that we have to sacrifice that personal, quiet, unmoved time that we think we deserve when we come home and sit in a recliner the rest of the day while everything else happens in a household. That's not what a daddy who works hard does. Your job doesn't end when you get home from the job that writes you a paycheck. Your real job's just begun. And that means being a husband and being a father to your children. But we're also called to provide in another area. We are to provide spiritual leadership for our homes. Because not only are we called to be the protector, not only are we called to be the priest. I mean, not only the provider, we're called to be the prophet and we're called to be the priest in our homes. We have the awesome responsibility of being the spiritual leader in our homes. And this is an area where most of us, including myself, fall far short too many times. We're called to lead our families to God, men. And we're called to lead our families for Him. And can I just be honest with you, that's more difficult than bringing home a paycheck and putting food on the table. It's more difficult than providing physical protection. This is perhaps the most difficult calling that we've ever been given. And this is the one the enemy attacks us on most severely, to be a priest and to be a prophet in our own home. You say, what was the job of a priest? A priest is someone who represented God to men and men to God, who interceded to God on behalf of others. A prophet was somebody that took the word of God and instructed others in the character of God and the way of God. And this means that as husband and father, we take the lead and we have the primary responsibility of introducing and leading our families to Jesus Christ. I want you to listen to what we're told in the Old Testament. And in Deuteronomy chapter 6, that famous passage, the Shema, this is what's written. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You will love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your might. These words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your sons. You will talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk by the way and when you lie down and when you rise up. You will bind them as a sign on your hand and they will be as frontals on your forehead. You will write them on the doorpost of your house and on the gates. In Psalm 78, verse 4, 5, 6, and 7, it says this: Tell to the generations to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wondrous works that He has done. For He established a testimony in Jacob. He appointed a law in Israel which He commanded our fathers, that they should teach this to their children, that the generation to come might know, even the children yet to be born, that they may arise and tell them to their children, that they would put their confidence in God, and that they would not forget the works of God, but would always keep His commandments. That's the greatest thing that we can ever teach our children, is about the greatness of God and about the grace of God that has been so abundantly given to us, something that we did not deserve. And we do this not necessarily in formal ways. It should happen in formal ways in family worship, but informally as we live our lives in conversation. The advice that we give shouldn't just be advice that's popular out there among other dads or on the radios or talk shows that are on television or what we read in a newspaper. The things that we talk about should be the things that matter most. And those are the things of eternity. And those are the things of God. Because dads, and I thank the dads and the husbands in this room because y'all do such a fantastic job in setting the tone and making sure that your family is here at worship, that your family prays, and setting the spiritual tone and the atmosphere for your home. Folks, that's what our families need. That's what your wife is longing for you to take the lead in these areas. Guys, as hard as it is, we're called to model a Christ-centered life because our children need to see that Jesus has made a difference in my daddy's life. And that Jesus can make a difference in mine. They need to hear us talk about the greatness of this God in heaven that has captured our hearts and our imaginations. They need to hear about the great sacrifice that He made as our great Father by sending His Son to die on a cross for our sins. We've been called to bring them to God in prayer. And folks, that's important. Because I want you to hear this. Dads, the only thing that you can do is what you can do. We can only do so much. We can only say so much. We can only model so much. We can only set an example to such an extent. And when we've done what we can do, we've got to trust and we've got to be before God in heaven that God will do what we really need to happen. And that's to move in the hearts and the lives of our children and our grandchildren and our spouses. We should bring them before Him in prayer, crying out to God, not just that there'll be a success in life by the world standards, but that they'll come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Francis Chan, who's a popular author and pastor and speaker, he said, I cannot make someone fall in love with Jesus. He said, and that really came home for me 18 months ago. He said, with my own teenage daughter who was not in love with Jesus. He said, I had talked to her and I had prayed for her. He said, I can't tell you how many nights I spent on my knees before God crying, just bawling before God, praying that God would just bless her heart, that He would come into her life. He says, here I am, a pastor known for my ability to write and my ability to communicate, and there was nothing I could do for my own daughter that would make her fall in love with Jesus. He said, I could guide her. I could lead her. I could set an example for her. He says, but I was powerless to convict her of her need for Jesus Christ and a change in her heart and her life. He said, God, either your spirit comes into her or your spirit doesn't, because it doesn't matter how great a dad I am, I cannot bring her to life. He said, one day she came into my room and said, Dad, you were right. The Holy Spirit wasn't in me, but now He is. She talked to me, and he said she told me how near she felt to God and how things had changed in her life. He said, my wife and I were skeptical based on what we'd been seeing. He said, but now, a year and a half later, he said, I can tell you that she really is a new creation. He says, I didn't do that. The Holy Spirit did that. And so, Dads, for everything I've talked about today, I think the most important thing that you can do for your family is to find yourself on your face before a holy God, because He's the only one that can change hearts, change lives. Pray about their salvation. Pray about their friends. Pray about their future spouses, and understand that you're limited and you're going to have to trust Him with that good, good Father that we sang about earlier, and that His Spirit will do what only He can do. Folks, if our children leave home without a personal relationship with Jesus Christ and a lifetime commitment to Him, it really doesn't matter how good a school we put them in, what kind of education we provided for them so that they could get whatever kind of job it was that they needed to get to have all the neat things that they can buy in life or go all the wonderful places that they can go in life. None of that matters if they stand before God on the day of judgment without Jesus Christ. And we cannot control and we cannot dictate these things. But as husbands and fathers, we can influence them and lead them. Several years ago, probably back about 2011, Levi Strauss was running an ad campaign for Dockers. And it actually was kind of controversial, and it was provocative. And for a long time, you could see the ad on their website. And it was trying to obviously sell pants, but it did it through a roundabout way by appealing to something that had seemingly been lost to a generation of men. And this is what it said. It said, once upon a time, men wore the pants, and they wore them well. Women rarely had to open doors, and little old ladies never had to cross the street alone. Men took charge because that's what they did. But somewhere along the way, the world decided it no longer needed men. Disco by disco, latte by foamy non-fat latte, men were stripped of their khakis and left stranded on the road between boyhood and androgyny. But today, there are questions our genderless society has no answers for. The world sits idly by as cities crumble, children misbehave, and those little old ladies still remain on the side of the street. For the first time since Bad Guys, we need some heroes. We need grown-ups. We need men to put down the plastic fork and step away from the salad bar. Amen. And untie the world from the tracks of complacency. It's time to get your hands dirty. It's time to answer the call of manhood. It's time to wear the pants. Guys, let me tell you something. It's time to answer the call of manhood. Be a protector. Be a provider. Be a priest. And be a prophet in your home. And know that God said your children and your children's children will be blessed. And that's the only legacy that you're really ever going to leave behind. It's not your 401k and it's not your house. It is your children and your children's children. And the ones who come behind them. And it's not just your family and society that's at stake. It's the gospel. It's the gospel. The greatest gift that you could give, Dad, today, and I know that Father's Day is about receiving, but I'm going to talk to you about giving. The greatest gift that you could ever receive is a gift of salvation that comes through a personal relationship with Jesus Christ by faith and by grace. And through faith and repentance. That's the greatest thing that you could ever give your family, is to give them a daddy who imperfectly, but a daddy who pursues Jesus the very best way that they know how and seeks to honor Him and to live for Him. That's the greatest thing that you can do. And dads, I want to tell you, you've got the hardest job on the face of the planet, because the enemy attacks with all of his might. And my prayer is that you will not be found wanting, but you will be found to be weighed and measured in the balances to be sufficient. Because when you cry out to God, as Jason said earlier, God has a wonderful way of making up for our deficiencies. His grace is made perfect in our weakness. Just don't pretend to be strong when you're not. Let your family see and let your family know that your strength comes from Jesus and Jesus alone. Answer the call of manhood. Be that protector. Be that provider. Then do the hard job. Be a priest in your home and be a prophet. Let's stand. Father, as we come, thank you just for being a wonderful Father in heaven. And God, I know because of my struggles and my failures that are ever before me as a husband and a father that it is a difficult, difficult job. And God, there's none of us who are sufficient for these things. But my prayer is that today you'll find men who are willing to fall on your grace and to find that it is sufficient. And God, maybe there are men who have never thought about their role as a husband and father beyond just that of protector and provider. God, may you touch their hearts today. They understand that there is a spiritual component to the leadership that you have vested in them and graced them with in their homes. Amen.